I like people who have honest questions. People who come and say, I do not get this. I do not understand this. Questions are a part of life, aren't they? We all have questions about, from when we were very young as children, we questioned our parents because we didn't want to do what they told us to do. Or we questioned why we had to do them. I'm sure we've all done a bit of that. But all the way through life, there are questions that we want to ask of not just our parents or our friends, but we want to ask questions of God also. And there can be no doubts that Nicodemus was a religious man. It says, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He could see that in Jesus Christ, here was someone who was special. No one could do these things unless he were from God, said Nicodemus. And yet the question that was niggling away at the back of Nicodemus' mind was to do with how one could believe in Jesus as Messiah, and indeed to be God himself, and how indeed Jesus could say some of the things that he was saying, which seemed to Nicodemus to be absolute nonsense, as far as he understood it. And so Jesus spent some time with Nicodemus, allowing him to ask the questions. I want you to know that Jesus, that God himself, allows us to ask the questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. We all have them. Why this? Why is this happening? And all those kinds of questions which niggle away in our hearts and minds. But we also have to have the ability to hear the response of God, who wants to speak to our hearts and minds and to give us the assurance as his children. The assurance of faith and salvation through Jesus Christ and all that he came to do. If I was to ask you which of the verses in John 3 that you remember most of all, I suspect if I was to say, how many of you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How many knew that? Great. Who knew the one that came? Who knows the verse that comes after? Or the one before? It's interesting, isn't it? But this verse, of this hope of salvation that Jesus promises, actually, of course, is in the context of all that he said before, in the conversation that he was having with Nicodemus. So we do need to ask our questions of God, but be prepared for the answer that he gives. In the prophet Isaiah, we hear that actually he came to faith in the year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And it's as if at that point something was unlocked within him, and he was able to see the Lord and his glory. We have that tremendous vision of the seraphs meeting up with Isaiah, the prophet. He was a man of unclean lips. There was a bit of his life that needed sorting out. But he wasn't left in that place of condemnation, but he was set free from it. To do what? To go and minister for God. God was asking, who shall we send? And Isaiah, once he had been redeemed and restored, said, send me, I'll go. God never leaves us where we are, but actually wants to bring us through to that place where we are in a place to do things for him and to be for him, because he loves us so very much. So yes, it's important to know that Jesus said that God's love is so great for this world that whoever believes in him may not perish. But it's also important to understand how that is imparted to us as human beings. Nicodemus asks those questions. He understands very clearly, as I suggest, that Jesus was someone special. No one could do these things unless he was. But Jesus didn't answer in the way in which Nicodemus expected. He said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. It's one of those phrases that's got misused over the years and confuses, upsets, and undermines people of all faiths. It's a strange thing. Jesus was just trying to say, this is what is necessary for a person to enter the kingdom of God, or even to see it for themselves. And it's about allowing ourselves to come under the reign and under the rule of God, and allowing ourselves to see him at work in this world, in the way, in the only the way in which God can do, by his Spirit. To see him for all his glory in God's creation, restoring creation day by day. To see him at work in human beings who seem lost and afraid and concerned and fearful, and all those things that we as human beings need to be set free from. That's where the kingdom of God is, and he's also within each one of us. And access into that is through our spiritual rebirth. God does something within. He gives us a new heart, as the prophet Jeremiah suggests. He does something about our disposition, as he did with Isaiah the prophet. He turns us around and gives us a completely different identity. Isn't that wonderful that we don't have to carry on in the same old way? When I was an apprentice in Devonport Dockyard, we were moving from the stage of where we repaired everything to refitting something by replacement. We're into that world now, aren't we? You buy a television, and when we bought our first television, I think it lasted 30 years. Now it lasts 5 years, if you're lucky, and they have to replace it. That seems to be the way it is. And while God is in the place of restoring his creation and doing things in creation to make things new, he actually gives us a new heart. Not a heart of stone, but of a heart of flesh that responds to his Spirit within us, so that we can know for sure our identity in Jesus Christ. These are important things, and it was something that Nicodemus needed to understand. And the tussle goes on in this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus for some time. Jesus says, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? He just could not raise his understanding of God beyond what he had learnt throughout the years. He could not understand that God in Jesus Christ had provided a way of living that takes us out of ourselves and places us firmly in the eternity that God has provided through Jesus. That's why Jesus came to do what he did. For God so loved this world, he wants to redeem that too. Jesus came because he wants to redeem human beings. Jesus came because he wants us to understand what it is to have a heavenly Father. And all of these things are here for us in this extraordinary book that we need God's Spirit to help us to read and to understand for ourselves and to come under its influence. And once that begins to happen, this new relationship begins to work on us. Very gradually, we see that the life of the Son of God that is within us, and therefore the eternity that he promises, is within us. And that even though we are physically here on earth, we are seated in the heavenly places, I know that's hard to get your head around, with Jesus Christ. So that he is working on us at all these kinds of levels and beginning to change us to become more like him. And Paul understood this, and that was the second of the readings, Paul's letter to the Romans. And he talks about the kind of relationship that we can expect to have with God. Yes, we should fear him in the right sense, that he is an awesome God, but we should not fear coming to him and asking him to walk with us and to change us. And this is what Paul says. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Talks about in Scripture about perfect love casting out all fear. How many of us find ourselves enslaved to fear in different things? I do sometimes. And we just need to ask God to release us from those things. And then, of course, we are reminded of this amazing relationship. It is by the Spirit of God within us, once we are born again of the Spirit, that this begins to happen. By that same Spirit, we are able to cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit that is within us, the Spirit of God, enables us, says Paul, to recognize our relationship with God himself. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit within us that we are God's children. I think that's an amazing realization. There's something very deep and profound going on in us when we allow ourselves to come under the reign and the rule of God. And he does this in an extraordinary way. He doesn't force himself, but he's working on people even before they get to that place where they understand it for themselves. We cannot limit God's power, ever. He's doing stuff in people's lives that we can't even begin to imagine. And as the prayers of the people for our children, for other family relations are going on and on and on, and those prayers rise up as incense before God, God by his Spirit is doing the work in people and beginning to draw them and to release them. My chains are gone, I've been set free, says the hymn. And that's a wonderful promise. And so we need to know of this extraordinary life-changing relationship which begins with this work that goes on within us that we can't understand how it happens, but God does it. It's about God, it's not about us. Yes, we have to respond, but it's about him. He's doing his work, that work that goes on unseen, day in and day out, even as we speak and listen now to God in this place. And one of the things that people notice as God is doing these things is they realize that there's something special about Jesus being lifted up. And they recognize the work of the cross. They don't understand it, but there's something profound and powerful about the work of the cross in this world. And so Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, which was to cure them the diseases that they got, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's the promise. That's the hope. And that's our hope as Christians, but also for all those who are searching in this life. As the Son of Man is lifted up. And that's what we must do in our worship and in our lives. Lift up the Son of Man who's come to set people free from the chains that keep them in fear of their lives. For God so loved the world. That's why. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's something for which we give thanks to God and praise his holy name. Let's be still for a moment.